All right. How you doing, family? My name is Michael. I'm an alcoholic. Seen hundreds of these things go down, man, and so I kind of know how it's supposed to go. But never been up here myself, so I'm a little nervous. Bear with me if I start rambling. My sobriety date is September 20th, 2016. I may have a sponsor. Don't know yet. I pray most mornings when I get up and ask God to set aside everything I think I know so that I may learn and grow from the experiences he provides me. And I thank him most nights when I go to sleep for keeping me sober another day. And I definitely talk to other alcoholics every day. And I guess I'll give you a little quick background of my life. I was born Chicago, Illinois, an only child to a single mother who was an alcoholic, functioning alcoholic, who's never been unemployed since she was 14. And, you know, she went to work every day, provided very well for me. I had everything I needed and much of what I wanted. She tried to instill in me, you know, values and ethics and morals and all that good stuff. I remember by the time I was like 7, 8 years old, I was doing my own laundry, doing yard work, washing dishes to earn baseball cards or batteries for my toys, you know, the things that I wanted. It's one experience when I was very young that stands out to me and I remember because I think it was an aha moment for me. I was at a neighbor's house. He was a couple years older than me. We were playing with my Thunder Punch Wily Cat, Thundercats doll, which had a little switch on the back, and his arm went up, and his eyes lit up, and his eyes stopped lighting up. So I needed new batteries, and I did not want to wait until my mom came home because I wanted what I wanted when I wanted it. And I'm complaining about it, and the neighbor kid's like, yo, we can go down to the Apple Pantry down the street and get some batteries. I'm like, broke, how are we going to do that? He said, let me show you. So we went in. This kid was a little older than me, a little bigger. You know, I looked very innocent. So we formulated a plan that he would go by the candy and stand there acting like he was going to steal something. And I'd just casually walk in, get the batteries, put them in my pocket, and walk out. And it worked. So I realized that I did not have to work for the things that I wanted. There were easier, softer ways to get them. And I was screwed from that moment on, you know. Moving a little forward, high school. Actually, no, a little before that. I always felt different. Like, I had to be like you or have what you have to be accepted. And I blame it on a lot of things, you know, having a single mother, not having a father figure around, but it was me trying to be like the people I seen around me. So I looked up to the older guys in the neighborhood and tried to do what they did. And I remember smoking pot for the first time on the front steps of my grammar school. And I was like, wow, this is it, you know. And I also realized very early on that I have no throttle control. I don't know how to ease on the gas, you know. From that day forward, I was an everyday pot smoker. Started drinking at parties. The first time I remember getting drunk was at a girlfriend's house. Her father had a full bar in the basement. And, you know, most kids, when they're raiding the parents' liquor cabinet, they, you know, pour a little from every bottle so they don't notice what's missing. We thought it would be a good idea to just mix everything together. We didn't care if they knew it was missing because we were going to drink it all anyway. But we thought mixing everything in one cup would be a good idea. I had a really cool 1964 Schwinn Stingray, which I spent like $200 fixing up, like a little low rider bike. And I remember, last thing I remember was riding down the street on that thing. And I don't know how I got home, and I don't know where my bike was the next day. You know, blackout drunk, my first time being drunk. Things went on, they progressed. you know, you all probably have similar stories, you know, starting getting consequences in school, at home, got into more dry goods, and it took over my life, you know. Nothing mattered but that. And by the time I was 18, I was kicked out of the house, had been arrested for the seventh or eighth time, found myself in jail, facing some semi-serious charges, and they wanted to give me 8 years, and I wound up getting 4 months in boot camp. So I figured, hey, I escaped that one. You know, I can go back to this. And I did. And I tried geographic changes, moved around Illinois, and finally got sober through a treatment center. That was a 3-month treatment center. Went into a halfway house afterwards. Went to meetings, you know, because that's what people did to stay sober. And I had been to a lot of meetings, you know, rewind a little bit. 15 was my first meeting. You know, I couldn't stop smoking pot for probation, so they sent me. So I was very familiar with everything that was being said, but I didn't buy into it totally. I just knew that my life was screwed up. I had to do something different. I didn't think I needed to do it all the way because I wasn't all the way screwed up yet. You know, and I met a girl, and about a year into our relationship, she got pregnant, and I started using again a few months before this, and when I found that out, I really knew I needed to stop. You know, I wanted to be a father to my son, so I stopped using drugs, and got a job and started drinking because alcohol was never my problem before this. But when you're coming home from work every day and polishing off a 12-pack, you know, you've got a drinking problem. But the consequences in my life at that time weren't as severe as they were from the drugs, so I didn't think I was an alcoholic. Fast forward, getting sober for a few months at a time, relapsing, getting sober, relapsing, switching my substances, moving around, trying all these external things to fix the problem that was in me. And I finally wound up going to prison. Originally, they were going to give me 18 years, wound up being six. When I heard 18 years, I started like reading the Bible, and you know, I was an atheist before this, and you know, I figured I needed help from something outside of me. So I started reading the Bible and going to Bible studies, and I didn't completely buy into it, but I started praying. And when I actually got my time, and it was a lot less than what they wanted to give me, I was grateful. I said, I'm not going to drink or drug ever again. And when I came home, I jumped immediately into AA, and actually, for the first time, had an honest desire to do this thing. And through working a few steps with a sponsor, you know, things started opening up for me. Like I said, I was an atheist. You know, I got past the first step. I knew I was an alcoholic. I knew my life was unmanageable. The second step I thought was going to be very hard for me, but my sponsor just told me, you know, you've been doing things your way for a long time. You know they don't work. Do you think something else will work? Yes. Okay, you've done step two. I've heard people say pick a doorknob or a tree for your higher power. I was like, what the fuck is a tree going to do to keep me sober? Sorry. Sorry if I offended anybody, but you know, he said, okay, you've been coming to meetings this long. You see people that have been as bad or worse than you staying sober. Do you think this program works? Yes. Okay, you've done step three. At that point, I didn't make it much farther than that. My sponsor, who was the GSR for our club, got caught using club money to take escorts out to sushi restaurants in downtown Chicago. So I kind of gave up on the program. Plus, I was good. I had like 3.5 years sober, most of it in prison, but, you know, it's time sober. So I thought I needed to catch up. Work offered me like 72 hours a week. We were super busy. So that took over. You know, I lost the balance that I had in my life, and I wound up going back out. Again, more of the same. I thought, you know, this is enough. I need to get far away from here. So I came to Tampa, Florida, which was probably the best thing I've ever done. You know, it got a lot worse. It got a lot worse because I moved away from all the people who enabled me, all the people who told me, you know, who seen me slipping and picked me up and said, you know, it's going to be okay here. We'll help you out. And I came to that point of desperation where I was finally ready to do anything to stay sober. So I came back into the rooms and I got a sponsor and I put more effort into the steps this time. And I made it all the way to 9 before I realized that, you know, the God of my understanding wasn't giving me the things that I thought I was going to get from doing these steps in the time that I thought I was going to get them. So it's time for me to go out and get a better job, get an apartment, get a car, get a girlfriend, get my license. You know, it's how I said car before license. So I wound up going back again, and it just got worse. And I'm like, you know, how many times am I going to keep doing this? Which brought me to my last time in detox. Now, I've used detox many times before to take a break, lower my tolerance, you know, whatever. But I came to realize this time that the God of my understanding, I didn't understand very well because my understanding was that I was going to get things by doing these steps, you know. And today, 70 days sober, I have more peace than I've ever had in my life because I realize that the loving, caring God of my understanding only wants that for me, you know, loving and caring. He wants to show me how to be loving and caring. And, you know, I'm looking more for the intangible things as time going through. Wow, you know, I didn't know I was speaking until right before this, so, you know, it's, wow, that was crazy. It's probably the best way to do it because I would have been in my head, like, all day if I knew I was coming up here. But, you know, it's been a great couple days for me, being a Chicagoan, Northsider, Cubs fan, you know. Yesterday was an emotional roller coaster, which was the first time I've felt emotions in a long time, you know. And just talking to one of my friends who was at one of our bars up there, and it was a 6th inning, and he was on his 4th beer. Like, you know, who does that? But, you know, I just realized that, you know, there are people that can do that, and I'm not one of them. And I need this right here, you know. So I'm so grateful for these rooms and grateful for you people who have done a little bit before me and can kind of show me the way because I really don't know anything. You know, I could recite, quote things out of the book, but I don't know shit about staying sober. So I guess that's all I got.